Welcome back to Rome Boys. On this episode, we're continuing our faith formation videos with vocations.
Vocation. What's your vocation?
Single, married, deacon, brother, priest, sister, nun.
That's what they are.
Yeah. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
No. Oh, never
mind. Okay. That would be the 21 gun salute, pretty much. Those are holy vocations, every single one of them, right? And an easy way to remember is there are seven.
What's in the box?
The perfect number.
So
all of us are single at one time. We all start off that way. Yeah. And then we got to...
Sometimes we're born married. Sometimes we feel that way.
No, just kidding.
And of course, marriage is the majority. People pick that.
Saying my wife probably does because she does everything. That's what I meant by that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah. Whoa, that was close.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. So we're going to get into all the different vocations and the religious ones. But married people are called to be religious too. But that word means different things to different
people. We're all called to be holy.
That's the universal call to holiness, the catechism calls.
Would you say that's the main vocation?
That is.
We're all called to be holy.
The purpose is to get to heaven and to become a saint. So you're like, I remember teaching my students, and they're like, oh, I like that boy or whatever else. And I'm like, wait a second, are you going to become a saint by getting married? And is that the person that you're called to by God to become a saint with and help them? And they're not thinking about that.
What are they thinking about?
What will be the best for God? What will give God the most glory and get my backside to heaven?
Hey, that means all the rest of it got in, right?
If your backside's in.
What's the last thing on a bug's mind when he hits the windshield?
Ouch. I don't know.
His butt.
Yeah.
Splat.
Whatever it takes to get to heaven.
There you go. Yeah.
So what's the difference between a vocation and a job?
Right. So a job.
Rather than the pay.
And that job can be incorporated in a vocation. Because a lot of times people are like, I have a specialty for engineering or architecture or whatever else. That can be incorporated into the vocation. You can definitely use that. But one's a career for money to provide for a family or provide for a single person. And one is a calling to get yourself to heaven. And so, you know, I'm always asking my boys, because those are the ones that are older, like, okay, so you have this desire to do this particular task for the world, but is that married or is that a religious brother or is that a priest? And so you have to kind of wrestle with it. So it's almost two different directions, you know, my vocation. And once I know my vocation, then how am I going to use it, my gifts and my talents for the career?
It's tough.
Career?
I mean, it's not always easy.
It's very tough.
How many kids in college actually know what they're, there's probably some, what do you call those registrar office workers, in colleges? Like, oh yeah, these kids have no idea.
What are the statistics
of like a person like in college who changes their major?
Oh, right.
One of those.
Or they get the major and they never use it.
Yeah.
My wife, she has a master's degree in education.
Well,
she's
a stay-at-home mom.
Well, yeah, she uses it.
She
does.
She just doesn't get paid for it.
To blend college. And I was like, wait, you're telling me if I take one more of these classes, I can have two associate's degrees? I'm taking that class.
Sure.
I didn't know I was going to go into business, actually. I had an English, path. Oh. I was studying the language and writing and stuff. And
sure. Then you could say that God kind of put that in your way. Because you're going to need this later, pal.
Yeah, right. So I took that business class, and I have an associate's of business. I'm an expert, pretty much.
There you go.
I am the smartest man alive!
No, just kidding. Yeah, because in the farming world, we say, we're like doctors and lawyers. We practice.
There you go. That's true. Yeah. Yes.
No doubt.
So the call of a vocation is we need to be open to whatever God wants. You know, in my story, I was, thinking I was going to be married. Then I went to seminary for 2.5 years. Then God said, no marriage. So we have no idea. And when someone comes up to me and says, I think I'm supposed to be a priest. Great. Go down that path. Pursue it. It's not going to hurt you by joining the seminary, going to a convent, visiting a seminary. But once you make that decision, it is final. But at the same time, go down and check out the options and know what the options are. Like in our area, I picture, like, how many girls have seen a habited nun?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
You know, or a Benedictine brother or Franciscan priest. They haven't. How can they know that, that might be what they're called to do, but how do they know unless they have that exposure? Yeah. So to check out all the different options as young people. And even old, too.
At least later on in life, you won't have that idea in your head of, if I would have done this? Yes. Or what if I'd have gone and visited those places?
You don't want to have regrets.
You get in an argument in your marriage or something like, what?
I could have done
maybe
this.
Maybe I should have been a priest, right? Mm-hmm. Let me read real quick 1 Corinthians. It's actually like the subtitle is Advice to Virgins and Widows, but a little further down there. So 1 Corinthians 7, 32. I should like you to be free of anxieties. An unmarried man. Oh, man. This isn't
good. It already starts off. If you want to be free from anxieties, an unmarried man is free from anxieties.
You'll have anxieties. Okay. Good to know.
There's a point, guys. Okay. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord. So either way, we're going to be anxious.
Still going to be anxious. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So how he may please the Lord is his focus. But a married man is anxious about the things of this world, how he may please his wife.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody. Yeah.
And therefore he is divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is anxious about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy in both body and spirit. A married woman, on the other hand, is anxious about the things of this world, how she may please her husband. I am telling you this for your own benefit, not to impose a restraint upon you. Yeah. And a lot of people they say that like about priests, you know, like it's all these strict rules and laws. No, it's everything we do is to be free.
Yeah.
God frees
us. Or they're
us.
Better than us and not necessarily. Yeah. All vocations are great. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not on a higher level.
Than no. And they tell you it's a struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy. Right. But for the sake of prosperity and adherence to the Lord without distraction, I think that's a lot of it. You know, you divide your, divide up, you're distracted by things of the world. Like I can tell you right now, even like in marriage, with my work, like it distracts me from my family.
Sure.
Even.
Yeah.
So
it's hard not to bring that home.
Yeah.
You know, you try to do the best you can of doing your daily work. And then not bringing all those struggles and problems home, especially when you're a farmer and you live where you work, you know, or when you work from home, you know, it's hard to turn that off. It's almost like you need about 30, 45 minutes to go do something else and just quiet yourself.
I had that drive for 5 years. That was great. Driving from school to home, and that was nice to vent. But being in the seminary and seeing priests and men thinking about the priesthood and being married, for me, I'm like, priesthood seems easier. Yeah, and a lot of people don't see that. You know, I've seen the struggles of both sides. It's so cool. I was never a priest, but you know, it's so interesting that it is hard. Even in a convent, those women are super holy, but they get frustrated with the other nuns. You know,
they have to live with the people all the time.
It's no different than a family. You know,
right?
And so all vocations have their cross, but their resurrection, and there's beauty behind all of them. But we want to encourage people. Pick the one that God wants you to do, and you have to listen to be able to know what that is, and that's a key thing.
It's so true, and you know, I think a lot of people even see single folks like, "What's wrong with that person?"
What's the matter with you?
You know, we've got
society does that to them.
Young people
feel the pressure. You got to have somebody.
You're a loser if you don't.
Yeah, you're single is looked down upon for some reason.
Well, guess what? When you get to heaven, you're not even going to be married to your spouse
anymore. This is true.
You're a bride of Christ.
We're all worshiping Jesus. Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that weird, though, that people in certain societies look down on a single person? Oh, how come that person never got married? And yet...
Must be something wrong with them.
It must be something wrong with them. Yet there's over 50% of marriages end in divorce.
And anyways,
that statistic is skewed anyway because most people don't get married anymore.
Right?
Or society looks upon people that are married that have lots of kids, like us.
Right?
You know, and that's wrong as well. Or even different parts of our country. Like, you know, some parts are like, hey, making jokes at you.
How come you... Why you got so many kids? Don't you have a TV in your room?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. and, you know, think about like, well, you know, I mentioned the subtitle of the scripture there regarding widows.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are single at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so we get so down about like, oh, I'm so sorry, or they're all alone. I think the big point is, like, God is with us, and that's who we should be pointed at. And even in, even as a married man, I love Jesus first.
Sure.
My wife does too.
Yeah.
And that's what brings us together.
That's what keeps you going. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the commonality we need to have.
I think there's three S's in trying to figure out your vocation. Silence, service, and surrender.
Surrender, yeah.
And so I mentioned silence earlier, like that time of prayer when I was in the seminary. Every day we had an hour of adoration. That's how I knew that God was calling me to be married, you know, because God can speak to us and we have to listen.
It wasn't because you didn't like silence.
And I love silence. I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was willing to become a priest, and God said, I have a different plan for you. So again, that openness. Service, get active. Go on mission trips. Go. I know a lot of college students, they'll graduate and then they'll dedicate a year to doing Focus or doing Net Ministries or something, to where they go out and find themselves. And through service, God can reveal to us our vocation.
A Blaze Ministry team.
There you go. There's lots of great organizations. Yeah. And then surrender, like Jesus, arms out in prayer, and just literally do this. I will do whatever you ask. Do whatever he tells you, Mary said. You know, yeah. I will do whatever you want me to do. I am totally yours, totus tuus. That's a prayer that God will answer. Just got to give him time. And a lot of my friends, some of them are even in their 40s. They're like, Lord, please send me somebody. You know, we don't always get the prayer answered when we want, but we have to persevere.
Constantly wondering if he still wants me to be a farmer or not.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Do you really want me to do
constant
this?
Discernment? Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
because I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah,
it boils down to you talked about the silence and service and surrender. Our purpose is simple: to know God, love God, and serve Him.
Yeah. Which so you've mentioned before.
That we can be with him in this life, right?
Yeah.
Or in the next.
That's a great point.
Yes, yes, there it is.
And that's not necessarily now that I
have joy with him. It's
have joy. Yeah, be joyful about it. But our vocations might not be lifelong either.
This is
like
true.
You're saying, the widower, they're no longer married. That's not their vocation anymore.
Or I know a man that was, had married, had a bunch of kids. His wife died. He became a priest.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
His vocation changed drastically.
Totally changed. Exactly. Yeah.
My roommate, Tom, Father Tom now, but I mean, his brother, Father Todd, was a priest and died in a jet ski accident.
Crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so Tom has, and I'm going to butcher this, Father Tom, but he's got 2 degrees, like biochemistry and genetics.
Yeah, smart guy.
Yeah, from A&M. And then he was a detective for the College Station Police Department for a long time, right?
He's had several locations.
Yeah, so he goes through college, and he's like, I'm not going to be a priest. My brother is the priest of the family. His brother dies unexpectedly. And he's like, well, I'm not going to become a priest just because he died or because my family wants me to be or because it's expected of me.
Right.
Like, that was not his plan for vocation. Then all of a sudden, after like 9 years working for the PD.
And God pushing. Sending signs.
Changed his direction completely, and he's a priest.
Yeah. Never know.
Yeah, you never know. But it just comes to mind there. You know, we're talking difference between occupation and your vocation. How do you make your occupation your vocation?
Yeah, I mean, I know
every day, man. This is sorry, Tony.
No, go ahead.
But you know, we were talking on the way over, Joe, and like just about these moments where people just open up to you, and you don't think about it, and it seems so subtle. And I think like in Teresa Tomeo's book, Listening for God, in the conference, there's so many people talking about everyday moments where I don't think we actually are aware of God. You know, Paul talks about praying without ceasing. I think what is prayer?
Yeah.
It's constant communication with God. You can't obviously
not just like in the morning and I check out till tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Like right
or
now,
just Sunday.
How are we praying? Well, we're living a life. We're talking about Jesus right now. This is what Rome was all about.
Being aware of him being there
and giving him credit. So, like, you know, I've worked with folks. It's living by the church's teachings. It's
stay in the state of grace,
love, serve.
Faithful to him, and he will answer.
And right. So, how do you know? Like, well, gosh, I've done all sorts of things. I was a sacker at grocery store and
paper or plastic,
paper, I guess.
Yeah, trees, right? Who needs them?
Sure.
So. Every one of your interactions with people,
you
bring joy to the world.
You might have more interactions with more people than anyone else.
Absolutely,
like that day. Yeah. Bring
that's
Jesus.
Exactly right.
What does Mother Angelica
say? That's a holy
vocation
to me, honestly.
Yeah, sure.
What does Mother Angelica say? You might be the only Jesus somebody sees today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meets today. So, yeah.
And
be
this
holy.
Is what we're. I think this is what we're called to do. I think it is. To me, I do give great respect to those people that are priests and brothers and sisters
Absolutely.
And nuns.
But yeah, like you were saying, our profession, our skill set will be used in whatever vocation we use, are called to do. I know some sisters that were like tough lawyers, but before that they weren't. You know, I know a lady named Sister Prudence. She was married with kids and a lawyer. Her husband passed away. Kids got old enough. She became a nun lawyer, and she stands for all the church's things in the courtroom. Wow. And she is one tough cookie and the smartest woman I've ever met.
Yeah. Wrote
volumes and volumes of books. So, you know, God will use your talents in a great way. And if you go into a profession and you're a lay person, you get married, that's great too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so are we called not to bring God into the world? You know what I mean? Like into the marketplace, story after story.
That's what the laity are called to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Like that's what this book is full of. It's all these normal situations where God's miracles came about, you know, Simon and Andrew. I mean, I'm always compelled by
the Great Commission at the end of Matthew.
Yeah. There we go.
Go out and baptize.
Yeah. Lumen Gentium says, we're called as laity to impregnate the culture and human works with a moral value. And our society needs morality more than ever and godly families.
People ask
holy families
all the time, like, how do you have such low turnover at your nursing homes with the employees? Yeah. Just be honest and good. It's so unfortunate, but I have said this so many times to so many of our nursing home teams. Like when I would go in working for other companies, and I'd say, guys, it's not difficult to be the best.
You ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about?
All you got to do is the right thing.
The right thing.
There you go.
Just be honest. It's not to say that nursing homes are bad, but there's so many people that are leaders that want to, you know, go up the corporate ladder and the chain so they can make all the money, right? Their motive was wrong from the beginning. We don't choose a job or a career because of the money. It's because we exercise our talents that God gave us. And that's...
We have a limited time, so we better get right with God and serve Him. That's the whole point of our life.
So wherever you're at, like, really, don't, like... Think about it not as a mundane task. When and if you do, people would say, well, you need to change your job.
You can sanctify that task.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you take your job and you use it to glorify and honor God.
Amen.
So you change your occupation into your vocation. It's also using your talents to proclaim the message.
Amen.
To use His name to bring to the conversation.
Sure.
You know? So Rome Boys is our vocation.
Yeah, it is.
Right, we have the tools. We had talents.
Yeah.
You know,
it's an apostolate that we do as married men and fathers and husbands.
We don't have to do this.
No. Yeah, it's true. And
we feel called to, we've been called to do it. Yes. And we hope it's bringing, you know, having
souls to Christ.
Souls to Christ and just having an effect on people.
And we prepare and we get our minds set and our hearts set for these, you know, mornings that we come together and record.
There's some mornings I feel like I should have went to confession first.
Right.
I'm going tonight. I'm like, I wish it would happen earlier. You're right.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, you don't have to beat people over the head with the Bible.
Come on. That was a good one.
For you to feel like you're living out your vocation and getting Christ into the world. Morality, you said it. And you were quoting earlier this morning, Peter Kraft. What was the...
To save Western civilization, he has a great book out right now. We need morality. The societies that last, the civilizations that last have morality and solid families that are open to life. And he was, and in particular, one example he said is Europe is becoming very much more Muslim right now and losing its Christian basis because they have the obviously open to life and solid families.
Muslims
and they're devout in their faith. And so
And they have strong communities.
Yes.
Like if you go to their centers, you know, there's a doctor's office, a clinic right there on their at their temples, you know, and did I say that right? Is that what I forget?
Mosque.
The mosque, yeah. So I've been to some. I have a great friend who's traditional Muslim and got to go in and look, and there's just kids everywhere playing basketball and
open
having a good
life.
Time. And yeah,
that's the first answer he says. You want to save civilization? Have kids.
Yeah.
Have children.
Because that's where raise Muslims them right. are. Taking over these areas because they're outproducing.
And they said they tried through the military, through just killing, you know, through war, and it didn't necessarily work. So now they're doing it through the mothers. It's interesting.
Yeah, so there's
and when you live in a society that kills off babies, and you're not.
Right.
Yeah, so
you're not aborting. You're not believing in homosexuality.
We have to respect for what they're doing. They're doing the right money. I just wish it was they were Catholic.
So to take over, all you have to do is just be patient.
There you
go. There's two ways to have.
And our kids are our future.
Yeah. There's two ways to have the tallest building in town as a metaphor. You can tear down everybody else's building, or you can build up.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's obviously that's what we need to do.
That's what we need to do.
To build up our families.
That's what we're trying to do.
Build up the church. Yeah. And these are this is our vocation.
Yeah.
18 kids amongst us.
There you go.
We dare you to compete.
In counting.
Bring it on.
Gentlemen, anymore? Come.
Whoa.
You want to say this? Anyways. But some advice as far as vocations go. You know, I say, like, you know, if someone's discerning their vocation, turn it to Our Lady. Say 3 Hail Marys a day, and then don't stress out it and don't freak out about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just turn it over to Our Lady. Say the St. Therese Novena. It's answered so many prayers St. Therese has, and she's the patron saint of vocations.
And if roses show up, you know there you're on the right path.
St. Ignatius of Loyola says basically make a list of pros and cons. Marriage, religious life, or marriage, and maybe be single, and then find the pros and cons in there, and then allow your heart and bring that to prayer, bring it to spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did, you know, and I had a list like, man, priesthood looks really good, but what am I called to do? And then marriage, and what has been my heart since an early age? And God usually gives us signs throughout, you know, when you're a young person and then a teenager and then a young adult, lots of times he has signs throughout your life. So study those and kind of figure out.
I love the pros and cons list. Is a really good
concrete list.
Yeah.
And they even say with marriage, like a lady should say, hey, these are the qualities I want in a man.
Yeah.
And if he fits those qualities, and Liza said I fit most of them.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Can't be perfect, but you know, that's a good thing.
I mean, think about it. When you buy a car, what do you do?
Yeah.
Or when you buy a house, you list the pros and you list the cons. You might not actually write it out, which would be a great idea to write it out.
Sure.
But you're picking a partner for life, or you're picking your vocation in life that might take you the rest of your life to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
It
might be a good idea to do that.
It's so true,
And then one of my students, he's actually going to become a deacon here in a few weeks and eventually a priest. He goes, I think I'm called to be a priest, Mr. Frasco. And I thought that was awesome. But my first question to him is, what kind of priest? You know, you're going to be a diocesan priest or a religious priest? You're going to be the Franciscans and the Dominicans and the Benedictines.
Come on, man.
So I'm like, you solved one problem, we got another one. You know, not a problem, but something that you
answered
one
question.
We got to move on to the next one. And so, who do you want to serve? How do you want to spend your life? Do you want to help the poor? Are you called to be a teacher? Do you want to be in the hospitals? Do you want to go out and be with the people in New York and on the streets with gang members and help reforming them?
I mean, or do you want to be
Again, there's the profession, the job that we can do on a daily basis within the confines of a religious vocation, which is cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's our challenge for all of our viewers today, is how to make your occupation your vocation.
Mm-hmm. Another good, I like the black and white we talked about. We like checklists, always have a
men, big, yes.
Yeah, right. another thing that everyone should do this, and so I'll just encourage you, you got something to take away from this episode. Get out a piece of paper and make yourself write 100 things that you're grateful for. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a great exercise.
It's a
fantastic. We should do it often.
Yes, very often. The number one, I've said this on another episode before, the number one least experience emotion in the human existence is gratitude.
Yes.
It's gratitude.
And then God can work and answer in the particular vocation if you're grateful.
Exactly.
But if you're down and depressed and stressed, how can he give you that answer if you're not in the right place yourself?
Exactly. Some of the folks that I've worked with, I made them do it. Everybody get out a piece of paper. I brought paper and pencil.
I'm waiting.
I said, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
And then
it's not that hard.
No, it's not.
God's
and we'd
done
sit
so
there
much.
And some people were like... look around, but it's almost embarrassing if you look up from your paper because it means you're not a grateful person. So it forces you, it forces your heart and your mind in a new direction. And this is how you can, I've done this just in the way of like, do I need to change jobs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're talking about working vocations and occupations, but it is super duper helpful. And in this, at the same time, the next thing that you should do from your gratitude list is a goals list.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it puts you back on a mission. Yeah. Like you might have been down and depressed a little bit, you know? And so now all of a sudden, okay, you're re-energized. You're grateful for these things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now let's get to work.
Yeah.
Like God puts that joy and that fuel back in you and in your heart. And then, okay, what am I going to do in the, today?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Tangible.
I would go through every single moment.
Interesting.
Okay. What do you have a goal for the next 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Okay, now the next 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Okay, by the end of the month.
Yeah.
In the next three, and I don't need to go through all of it with you, but.
Yeah. But I don't want to bore you with those.
Thanks.
Really, 6 months, 1 year.
Yeah. Sure.
2 years, 3 years,
these
5 years.
These are people
years.
That change wow. the world when they make goals.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what are your goals centered around Christ?
Yep.
That's another thing. Are your goals centered around you and what yep. you want?
Sure.
Or is, that's when it becomes a vocation, right?
So
right.
if you
right.
don't have a vocation, Scripture says people without
well,
a vision.
You do. At your baptism.
Yeah, right, right. But those with people without a vision perish. Yeah.
This is true.
Right?
Mm. This is true.
So you've, okay. you've got to be onward looking in your vocation.
And they find that the majority of vocations to religious life and to priesthood come from holy families.
Yeah.
And so our job, gentlemen, mm-hmm. is to raise up holy kids so that they will be open to do whatever God wants. You know, I think of in this area, in our diocese, we have so many missionary priests having to come in and take care of us spiritually with the sacraments, but the families are supposed to be raising up kids that are holy, that are going right. to be the vocations yeah. for this area. So, like, it's families that are going to be raising up.
So, how do like...
And married you know, couples, too. Like, we need solid married saints at this time, too, just as much as religious.
So, let's go through, like, in order to encourage those religious orders. Mm-hmm. We've got parents. So, how do you have a conversation with your kids? Joe, yeah. I mean, Harley's
yeah,
looking...
My oldest daughter wants to become a nun. And I think a lot of things, what we need to do there is... Bring them to convents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nun runs.
You know, yeah. Nun runs. I like that.
Yeah.
Or have a relationship with your parish priest, mm-hmm. a friendship mm-hmm. with him.
Right.
Where the kids see him, yeah. where he's not just up there behind the altar doing right. his thing.
Playing basketball with him.
Yeah. 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 Make it. Show the kids that he's a normal person.
Yes.
That these nuns are normal people.
Yes.
And that they are so filled with joy and happiness, and it will be infectious.
That's contagious.
Tony, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. If I ever asked you, sorry, brother, in-law, but
don't throw
and in Christ. But you know who was it that came to you? I mean, you were in seminary for 2 years.
Yeah, like, through Totus Tuus, and just seeing tons of seminarians and solid priests.
Was there a brochure somewhere?
Donation to the Reverend Moon. Jews for Jesus.
Oh. Read about Jehovah's Witness. How about Buddhism?
Or did somebody say, hey, come with us and you're going to go to this seminary?
You make a great priest. Why don't you join?
I was just from Denver, so that just seemed like the best place to go.
Okay.
And I just
So there was a seminary
familiar.
There?
There was a seminary there.
All right.
Okay.
So and I had friends that were in the seminary there. So
did you call somebody and register online?
Yeah,
I mean,
talked to the vocations director. Cool. The vocations director said, of course, recruits you.
Every diocese has a vocation director.
Yeah. Yep. So. Father Ryan Rojo, we have a... pretty darn good episode, mm-hmm. Father Ryan Rojo, mm-hmm. who's sitting right here.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Can you make him appear right here? But he had great information to share on that front.
I mean, you date your future spouse, God willing, you know, to find mm-hmm. out if they're the right one. So
yeah,
by going
true.
To seminary, you're dating the church, you know, you're
yeah.
dating Jesus by joining
yeah,
a
courting.
Convent. Exactly. You're, you know, just checking it out to see if
yeah.
it's the real deal.
Or even just with your kids or your boys or mm-hmm. even your daughters. That it's an option.
Yes.
Let them know that it's an option. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, look at this guy. Would you consider doing that?
So what about Grant?
I asked my, well, yeah. he's five. You know, I asked Luke. I was like, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? You want to be a priest? Or he said, I want to be a farmer. I said, what about being a priest? He goes, I'm going to be a priest farmer.
There you go. And
farmer priest or
really
whatever.
Can.
Saint Isidore.
Yes. Yes. The Benedictines are farmers.
Yeah, right.
There you go. There you go.
What about like grandparents? You know, there's lots of grandparents that want, you know, they're raising their kid, their mm-hmm. their children's
oftentimes,
children.
Oftentimes, yes.
They want to help them and encourage them. That's a tough question.
It is, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, it really
so,
is.
Oftentimes, grandparents are the ones passing on the faith to the kids.
Yeah.
So we got to start there. You know, they have to
yeah.
know Jesus and love him, like we talked
yeah.
about earlier, and
right.
serve him before they can even be open to a vocation
right.
and knowing.
So what would be the vocation now, talking about grandparents? How about our elderly grandparents? You know, you work in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
What are their vocations? I mean, a lot of them, I think, feel like they don't have one anymore.
Mm. Here's what's so awesome. Yeah. So I also took psychology of the elderly at U of H. And did you know that your happiest years are from age 65 to 75?
Wow.
The
That's
happiest
crazy.
Years
I
of
hope
your
I
entire
make it.
Life. I know, right? Like, so... and also, I mean...
I think we've talked about this before. You know, at that, why is that age such a... Your happiest
your
time
Your sex drive doubles.
Whoa, hello. He said it.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
So there's interesting things that we do.
But I was also thinking, my frame of mind was that, I don't know where you're thinking, but my frame just of mind saying. Was kind of, you have nothing else to prove.
Yeah, it's true. That's exactly your life. Right.
Here's you are. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. I've got nothing else to prove.
But you have so much wisdom. You've learned so much from life.
That's right.
And then you have a sex drive that's doubled.
And it's
I'm in trouble.
It's often lost on people that... you know, they don't have a vocation anymore. So what are they good
for?
You
get it at your baptism,
so terrible.
And it doesn't disappear.
Yeah,
you always
right.
have it. Yeah.
So, but what I always think about, the nursing home is a convent.
Mm-hmm.
It is a monastery.
So is our homes, the first convent, first seminary.
It's true.
I mean, so many of them are so... Nursing homes are kind of sad.
Yes.
A lot of them are because they feel like this is the end. They're just waiting to die.
Yeah.
Why can't they be... If they knew their vocation was just to pray for their family.
Prayer and suffering
for
others.
Goodness,
that is huge.
That is a very important
state
of life.
That's what she did on her deathbed. She prayed and suffered for us. She's probably going to be a saint because of those years of suffering and prayer.
They need to understand how important they are.
They
are.
That's
their vocation
to
the
church.
Right now, like as you walk down the halls of the nursing home, oftentimes you hear TVs blaring from room to room.
Sure, Price is Right.
Price Right in the morning, but you hear Benny Hinn. You hear Billy Graham, and you hear EWTN.
Good,
I'm telling you,
that's great.
These folks are, you know, they're dedicated to the Lord. And there's church services in every nursing home. It's always been a mission of mine to make sure that we have Mass available in every nursing home. So, but really, I mean, those people, they're there. They can pray for us and help us, but...
lots of times, even the Carmelite nuns, they're completely cloistered. Some of them never see their family ever again. And they're in the convent.
Right.
They separate from the world. They're like, what a waste of life. No, their prayers are what keeping... You think the world's bad now. Like, those Carmelite nuns have got it to where we are right now to be...
If people don't think
way
that
worse,
prayer matters, what you're saying in that is they would say prayer doesn't matter.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's everything.
It is. Yeah. And so we were talking about this earlier this morning. Like, the balance of society and civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people that are cloistered that are praying for us.
Yes.
There's people that are working as diocesan priests and religious, like deacons.
Right.
So those people are married possibly and have jobs, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there's us, the laiety.
Right.
It's the entire church that is working
for
God's
glory. A diversity of gifts, but one unity and mission.
Yeah.
We're all working together.
Yes. God willing.
Absolutely.
Yes. Right. So one key difference is you have religious sisters and religious nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And so a sister is a person that's more active and comes back to the convent, might go off and teach all day or work in a hospital.
Okay.
And a nun is cloistered. Okay. And then another distinction is you have transitional deacons.
Well, hang on, I mean, let's go back to cloistered. What does that mean? I'm sure there's some people haven't heard that
like
term
on
before.
On a half shell?
Yeah, a little Tabasco.
Sorry.
Cloister power.
But literally, like, off in the sticks, in the middle of nowhere, right? And in a convent and away from the world and in a monastery where they can totally focus on their spouse, Jesus, for the rest of their lives and to pray and to work and support the community, but at the same time, the prayer is number one for the rest of their lives.
And we have one near here.
And we do. Yeah,
Carmelites
are all over the place,
Which means so. Christopher...
Oh.
What?
All right.
Yeah, Cristobal.
Cristobal. Okay.
And then and then deacons, like I shared earlier, my friend John, or my student John, he's a transitional deacon. He's thinking about, he's going to become a priest. He's a deacon for a year. And then your permanent deacon is oftentimes married and will be a deacon for the rest of his life. He can't become a priest.
Yeah.
And if his spouse passes away, he can't remarry.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
And there's some stipulations
comment,
for their life to have been lived you know, in accordance with the church in order to become a deacon. So there's a lot of things that go along with that. It takes about 5 years, actually, to become a permanent deacon.
And the wife is very much involved in the whole process.
Yeah, she might as well be
and
a
you know
deacon,
what?
Too.
Yeah, really.
Not officially, not a holy orders, but she's very much involved.
Very much a part of it.
Well, they are
She receives formation, you know, in the training and education right along with
it. Not as much tests for her.
Right. So what's interesting about that is...
Being a deacon's wife is not easy.
I mean, she has her own ministry along with his. She may not be up there, but she's doing just as much.
I think Melissa might actually like it if I become a deacon, and just knowing like I can't remarry after she dies.
Lacey has voiced that interest as well.
All right.
Nice. Joe the deacon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Deacon Chris.
Pray for these guys.
Deacon
Joe. Pray for all of us.
Did I say Deacon Joe?
Deacon Tony.
So there's a phrase, evangelical councils. And so a religious priest, sister, nun, takes the three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And Father Stan Fortuna, in his rap song back in the day, would say, I got no money, I got no honeys, and I got a big boss in heaven. So, and then, and we can come back to that. And then a diocesan priest takes a simple life. He doesn't say poverty.
So, right.
And then chastity and obedience. So obedience to the religious superior or the bishop. Chastity, meaning having the church is the spouse. You know, Jesus right. is the spouse. Yeah. Some even sisters wear wedding rings, you know, married to Jesus. And then poverty or simplicity, meaning you're giving everything over to Christ. The diocesan priest having a little bit of little extra money for retirement or whatever else, but mm-hmm. not living mm-hmm. a bling bling life and, you know, and Rolls Royce.
It's kind of funny too when you, especially around priests, you know, I had some great uncles who were priests. Money just doesn't mean anything to them.
Yes.
It's very interesting. It's just a monetary thing. They don't really have a need for it, really. Mm-hmm.
I knew a priest in the seminary. He would get a stipend for every mass he did. He was in the seminary, so he was always filling in for other priests. So he'd get $10, $20, $30, whatever else, and he donated all that money. He didn't even consider it of his own. He just gave it all away.
It's interesting. I say the same thing all the time. Like, for our businesses, we have all these business accounts. I literally do not even see it as my own money.
Right.
It's awesome.
It's God. Stewardship. But
yeah. Right. It doesn't transfer to my personal checking account or anything.
Right.
Because all I think about are those patients and residents. Mm-hmm. And more, even more so than that, the staff, you know.
Right.
Just taking care of them. So it's vocational
fathers,
in my nature.
We're raising up our paychecks so that our kids can be able to
provide and protect. Care of them or with mm-hmm. your employees. I've mm-hmm. got a couple of employees, and our vocation is just to make sure that they're taken care
first
of.
First and foremost, right?
Like, make sure they're happy because if we can't do it without them.
No, right, exactly.
Can't do it without them.
Mm-hmm. I know, I think about, like, I drive like an old, you know, Toyota Corolla. Like,
how many miles on it?
I'll pass up 200,000 in about a week.
Okay.
Good grief. Is that what I'm driving?
I'm at 199,000.
Still going.
Sure. It's great. But, you know, I took a picture of Joan, our oldest daughter, who's 11, about to be 12 in June 2021. And we took a picture of her standing outside the car. I'm like, you're going to have this car when you get home. My point in saying this is, like, I'm always thinking about, like, I'll drive it or whatever, but I've got six daughters, so will this car make it to one of those kids can drive it?
I'm not sure about mine.
Will it be safe and dependable when they get it, you know?
Right.
It's, anyways, just our vocation is our daily decision for, generally, what is your vocation? It's not thinking about me. Mm-hmm. That's, if we could boil down this whole episode, it's what am I going to do with my life for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Even there if it go. Is sacking groceries or being a gas station attendant or being a farmer or owning a business. It doesn't matter. Like,
You may be the only Jesus someone sees today.
Amen. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas said, to teach in order to lead others to faith is the task of every preacher and of every believer. So the nun, the priest, the bishop, the single person, the married person, we're called to pass on the faith to
priest,
others.
Priest, prophet, king.
There it is. There it is. Exactly.
Yeah. Amen to that. All right.
Okay. What else, guys?
Yeah.
God, that was a
Are we getting hungry?
Here.
We're fading out.
Right.
Vocations are tough.
My vocation is getting hungry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us.
I'm interested in hearing comments, though.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. What is your vocation? Share us some of the things that you're doing now in, you know, in the comments below, what you believe your vocation is, or if you're called to think you're being called to the priesthood, hey, let us know.
And we if might you be feel able to like maybe you missed, direction. Yeah, you maybe you missed out on your calling. Even like I know a lot of people who say that.
Yeah,
like, true.
They'd be like, oh, you know, I'm so sad because I didn't consider this, or is my life a waste? It's not.
And I want to bring up as we end, you know, like to know a religious order is solid. Okay, is it growing? Is it faithful to the church and the church's teachings? And are they wearing the habit?
There's some shady ones out there.
You know, and so, you know, like, for instance, choosing a college, there's tons of colleges that claim to be Catholic, but are they on the Newman Guide?
Yeah.
And are they loyal to the church's teachings? You know, so we have to do our homework to be able to find out what's the best place, because we don't want to go somewhere and be led into sin and then somebody loses their vocation or at least gets delayed and all those kinds of issues. So find where it's solidly Catholic and you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
You can ask us
as
for some
Catholic
good ones
in a
too.
Few seconds here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us in our vocation and bringing the gospel to the world. In the meantime, be real,
be bold,
be Catholic.
God bless.